Yep, smells like mine. I have to say, last week, my dollar, I knew it was coming, but I'm a little embarrassed by the Balo family that they had to borrow that dollar off of Peter. They didn't even have the dollar. So, just thought I'd put that out there. That, anyways, I don't know how I'm supposed to go on after that. After Mike's comments, I think that's going to be tough, but we're going to give it a shot. Last week we were on bullying, and this week will be bullying part two. And let's start in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here, to be in your house. We just pray that you would help this message. We just thank you for what Mike said. We just pray that you would help us to take it to heart, Lord, and we just pray that you would help this service to go the way you would want it to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Zane, is this fresh?
Yep.
All right, thank you. If you remember last week where we were at, it was Deuteronomy 6. We read the whole chapter. We're just going to do a recap real quick. Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9 was talking about raising your children, keeping it in front of them, putting it on your doorposts. Actually, I have the verse right here. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou risest by the way, and when they liest down, and when they risest up. That was the first verse, but the other two kind of followed along. We should be constantly teaching our kids, constantly raising them the way they should be. Verse 17, we hit on Massa. What is Massa? We found out it was pretty much the town of Horeb, where God had to intervene again to give them water because of the kids, or the Israelite kids. They were a bunch of babies, a bunch of bullies, and they were whining and complaining they didn't have water. God had to take care of the problem. So the recap was, who is the ultimate bully? And we, right at the end of the week, I told her, right at the end of the message, I told you it was obviously Satan. He is the bully. He's in charge of the bullying. And he continues to try to bully us every day. The devil will bully you not only in everyday things, but he'll bully you not to get saved. He'll tell you you're not good enough, or that you're too bad, or that you've done too much.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Obviously, if you've been in church at all, you know that we have a God that loves us. He'll forgive us. You can get through that, but you have to meet him. You have to come back to him. But the question we have today is, Neil, you didn't give me any help from the Bible, really. You told me about the different things, but you didn't give me anything up to date that I can relate it to. So we're going to turn to Matthew 4. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 4. We're going to read 1 through 11. I love the sound of those pages turning. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That verse sounded kind of familiar. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I will turn to that real quick in a little bit. I like another version there. I'm not like it, but it says the whole thing in a lot shorter distance. But verse 4 starts his responses, where Jesus starts to respond, and obviously the devil is the bully here. The devil is trying to bully Jesus. at this point in time. This is what I'm saying. We went to the New Testament to show you it didn't work. Okay, that's the whole point of this, is it's not going to work. Why didn't it work? In verse 4, it is written, is the first phrase when Jesus goes to answer him back. It is written. He didn't give him theology. He didn't give him, because I'm Jesus. He didn't give him the normal, typical responses that we would give him. I'm better than you. I'm bigger than you. It doesn't matter. He went right to Scripture.
Yes.
So let's go to Scripture. Keep one hand here. Go to Deuteronomy 8:3. We're going back to Deuteronomy again. So the answer to verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, is Deuteronomy 8:3. And if I'm off on any of these verses, this is what I saw. If I'm wrong, Pastor, please straighten me out. But Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which obviously we're talking about the Jews, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So he's verse 4, he's saying to Satan,
yes,
you don't live by, you know, I am the bread of life. You know this stuff. We think we know our Bible today, but Satan knows this Bible inside and out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
To most people, shame, including my own, he knows it better than I do. So when Jesus answered him that, he knew that. But he didn't stop. The bully kept coming at him. So verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. This is the devil talking. So just reaffirms that he knows what's written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So we go to Psalms 91. And again, if I'm off on any of these scriptures, please straighten me out, Pastor. Go to Psalm 91, 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, that they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So there's Satan quoting the scripture back to him, kind of tempting him even more, trying to bully him even more. You know this is written, but I'm telling you, you can do that. So we go to verse 7. There's our next place that we have it is written. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And this is kind of what started my whole study, my whole looking into this. Because I said last week, at the end of each verse, I have different reference spots that it tells me to go. And that's what started me, sent me to, obviously, Deuteronomy 16, I'm sorry. And I'm sure everybody knows it, but I just run it back there quick anyways. Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. And that's what started the whole Massa connection. But again, in Matthew, Satan keeps coming up. What about this? What about this? What about this? Jesus keeps answering. Again, not saying, I'm Jesus, man. You don't know who you're messing with. Back off. It is written. You know it's written. Let's go back to it, okay? So keep your hand in Deuteronomy 6, because verse 10 is our last, it is written. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's Deuteronomy 6:13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Yeah, they're not word for word. They're pretty close. He's pretty much telling him, I've told you this, Satan, you know this. This is not news to you, but I'm going to refresh your mind on it, that you're not in control. I'm the one that's in control.
Amen.
Satan uses that a lot of times, that you're not in control. You think you got it all figured out. You think you got it made. You think you're in control. You're not in control, but with my help, I can help you. Well, who's the other one that tells us that? God tells us that. You're not in control. I'll help you, but you got to be looking in the right spot. Verse 11 in Matthew 4, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the response to this is, well, Mr. Ford, how is this helping me? If Satan's attacking you, if he's bullying you, that my answer is Matthew 4. You quote scripture back to him.
That's right, yes, sir.
Verse 11 tells you that the devil will leave. You quote scripture back to him, he can't take it. He knows you're in your Bible. He knows, I'll use the word untouchable. It's not true because you know Satan's going to come back the next day. Sure. But you need to know your scripture. You
yes,
quote it to him, he will leave it. The last part of that is the angels came and ministered unto him. And I'm not trying to say praise and worship is the thing to do, but in my view, obviously the angels came and ministered. Whatever he needed, they ministered to his needs. I also look at it a different way as they came and they sang with him. Because for him to defeat Satan at any level, obviously he's Jesus, he was going to do that. But God had to give him the strength to do it too, just like he does us. I can't imagine, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but I can't imagine he wasn't singing praises to God. You got me through this, the angels were singing with him, there was a chorus probably going on of people, of the angels and Jesus singing praise and glory to God.
Amen.
You got me through this, this is what I needed. So, while we're reading Matthew, just jump to Mark real quick. Matthew, Mark, next book. And this is just Mark's account of the whole story we just read. It was only 11 verses. How much shorter does it need to be? But I just want to show you the difference in how people look at things. Matthew spelled it all out. He took time to spell it out. Mark 1, 12, and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Bam, done. Mark's whole way looking at it was, it wasn't a big deal. It's my God. He can handle Satan. I just like the different ways that the different men looked at how that happened, how that whole story laid out, and how they saw it. Matthew took enough time to tell us every detail about it. Mark said, two verses. He left. The devil leaveth. Story's done. We're done and we're over. It's individualized how, when each person looks at this Bible, they see something different. They learn something different. And that's great. That's the way it needs to be. God's giving you something, and that's whatever he gives you, he's given to you. At that particular time, at that particular point, for you to use. And if that means fighting off Satan and telling him it is written, then that's what you're going to need to, that's what he's giving you. So back to, you don't have to turn there, but back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Again, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Again, the question was, no help from the Bible? Read your Bible. And pray for wisdom.
Yes.
We've talked about people just opening the Bible and say, speak to the Lord. He can do that. I don't think that's the wisest way to do it, but he can do that.
Yes, sir.
But you have to pray for wisdom along with just opening
yes,
your Bible.
Sir.
You got to be praying for what? It has to be a relationship with you and God. It can't just be,
amen,
speak to me and flop the Bible open and say, yeah, he didn't talk to me. You gotta be in a relationship with him, and that's praying for wisdom, reading your Bible. And as we hit on hard last week, remember and follow the commands and the statutes of the Lord. All the way through the Old Testament, he continued to slam the commandments and the statutes. Now, some of their commands were, we'll make it as simple as the Ten Commandments. They had up to 600 and some laws at the end. So they had to keep all that stuff. And we think, again, we kind of slam the Jews back in this time. How could they not get it? He continued to help them. They continued to help them. Continued to help them. They continued to cry. They continued to whine. They continued. They had all those laws that were supposed to keep them holy. And it didn't keep them holy. It kept them religious. We have love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and love thy neighbor as yourself is the two main ones. We have a hard time keeping those two.
That's right.
So before we get too fired up about smacking the Jews about not being able to follow all those laws, we need to work on the first two laws that we're supposed to be working on. And in all those laws, I mean, if you follow, if you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, I'm going to tell you right now, I would have a hard time with that. I have a neighbor that really burns my backside, and I can't love him the way I love myself or my family. I want to boot him off the road is what I want to do. So I can tell you right now, I don't have that one down.
Yes.
But that's what we're supposed to be going towards. That's what we're supposed to be working towards. Again, read your Bible, pray for wisdom, remember the commands and the statutes. Big question, are we? If we're not, we're trying to bully God. And back to that word again, we're trying to make our way, we're trying to put our way into it. The Bible is very clear and tell you what you're supposed to be doing, what the commands and statutes are. Be examples to your kids. And this is where Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9 came back in again. And I'm trying to bring this all back to Deuteronomy 6, a lot of that whole chapter, the two services. Again, we have to, by reading our Bibles, by praying for wisdom, by being in church, that's the examples we need to be for our family, but for our kids. We just were listening to a message on the way over to church, and the guy was talking about how the guy was a deacon in his church, and he had a problem with bitterness. And he told this deacon, "You've got to get over this. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it." He said, to this day, this man's in a relationship with another woman. Every one of his kids has walked away from the Lord because his kids saw that he didn't have the right relationship with God.
Sure.
It is very important, whatever we're doing, that we are being the example that we need to be to our kids. Because they're watching. If you're not in the services when you're supposed to be, they're not going to be in services when they're,
that's right,
as they get older. If you didn't follow the commands and the statutes, they're not going to follow the commands and the statutes. I have just pretty much concluding. I've never been in my comfort zone up here anyways, and a lot of the Lord's been working on me. I'm supposed to end this a different way, and I'm still not sure if that's what I'm going to do, but... Anyways, I got some steps in conclusion. Step one, read, pray, remember to follow the commands and statutes. Number two, tell someone, ask for prayer. And this is, if you're being spiritually bullied, again, even worldly bullying, you need to tell somebody. But if you're a Christian and you're being bullied, you feel Satan tearing you down, there's a situation he's got a hold of and just won't let you free from it. Tell someone, ask for prayer. When my health started to blow out there a couple weeks ago, I was able to text 3 or 4 of my friends and ask for prayer, knowing they were going to do that.
Amen.
And that's a bonus.
Amen. Sure.
Number three, as we learn in Matthew 4, quote scripture to the devil, he will leave it. Scripture says it. It's got to be true. If Satan is hammering you on a situation, if you quote scripture back to him, and just a couple of quick scriptures, but I can do through anything through him gives me strength. That's enough to make the devil leave. If you're telling him I'm relying on the guy that's going to give me strength, it's not you. He's got to leave. I can do all. What was the other one I was thinking? I can't think now. Anyways, you can quote scripture to the Lord, but again, or to the devil, but again, you have to be in His Word to know it. It again brings back importance of needing to know scripture. You got to know your scripture. I'm not saying you got to be in a Bible course or a Bible class, but I think the majority of us can read. If you can't, get Bible on book, something, but you need to be putting the Bible in your mind. You got to be getting it in there so when the bully comes, you have it, it's in there, you're going to be able to bring it to remembrance. Step four, and this is a big one for me. We can have the same exact strength that Jesus had when he told him, get out of here. But it's through Jesus Christ. It's not on our own.
Right.
We cannot stand up and just say, get away from me, Satan. if we're on our own. If you're doing it on your own, that's the only one you got helping you, is yourself. If you're right with Jesus Christ and you're doing these things and you say, get out of here, Satan, through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's going to happen. It's going to work. You have to deal with Satan as mean and as abruptly as he's dealing with you. You got to deal with him. You can't mess around with him. You can't, I can handle that. No, if it's a sin, get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. Number 5, be an example to kids. I touched on that again. Others, Deuteronomy 7-9. I've hit that scripture several times, but keep going over it if you need it. You got to be the leader to your family. I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy 6, and I'm going to read 16-19. And ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes. Man, we're getting sick of hearing that, aren't we? Which he had commanded thee. And 9:18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. 18, in the middle or towards the end, and thou shalt go in to possess the good land. We know he's talking about the promised land. We know he's talking about that. I referred to this last week as that's heaven to me. That's the good land. That's what, as a Christian, I'm striving for, is that good land. I can't wait to get to that good land, but I got to follow the commands and the statutes of God. I can't just do whatever I want to do and expect to have heaven. I got to follow the commands and statutes of my God because he died for me. I can't just fluff that off. I have a Savior that died for me. So it's very important, again, are we bullying or tempting God in Massah or Horeb? And I want to turn that question to us. Do we tempt God in Black Creek? Do we tempt him in Cuba, Friendship, Belfast, Olean, Shingle House, West Clarksville, East Clarksville? Is there even such a thing? Do we tempt the Lord God as they did in Massah? Do we try to bully God and say, I'm going to do it my way? I've given you a shot. You haven't. I don't think that's the answer. Now it's my time. I'm going to do it my way. I can't remember the one scripture, but it was very brazen when they said, is even God with us? That's pretty much as brazen as I'm thinking here. If we're saying we're tempting the Lord our God, we're not doing what he's asked us to do. Again, the commandments. If we're not following through, if we're not teaching our kids, if we're not doing those things, if we're, obviously we're here today, we're following the commandments of the Lord. We're here, we're meeting together, we're hearing the word, we're fellowshipping together, that's some of them. But when we leave this place, are we still following those commands and statutes? Are we going home and living for the world? Are we doing whatever we feel like doing? Well, I'm not in church, so it's okay. I can get away with this now. No, we're supposed to be living every day, every second of every day for the Lord. It's very important, again, I'm going to get back to Deuteronomy 6-7. It is very important to be teaching, but it's not only good enough. We need to be examples to our family. We can't just teach it. We got to live it. This is my little point on this. We talked about Satan is the devil, obviously. A lot of times people say there's something that Satan has a hold of you on. And I dare say each and every one of us has some issue that Satan is continuing to bully us on. We can't just say, the devil made me do it, and bat an eye at it. Yeah, Satan's bullying you, but you still have the choice.
Amen.
To either give in or follow God.
Right.
When you give in, you can't use the statement, the devil made me do it. No, you've given in, now live with those consequences. You have nobody to blame for those consequences but yourself.
Right.
If Again, you can't use Satan as a... He's not as powerful as he is because he is a very powerful being. And a lot of times we just use those cute phrases, the devil made me do it. He didn't make you do it. He put it in front of you. He's continuing to bully you on it. He didn't make you do it. It was your choice. I hammer that with my kids in Sunday school a lot because everybody just, well, it's what happened. No, you made a choice. That's now you got to deal with the consequences of that sin. God gave you a better way out. You chose the other way. Tempting, back to tempting. Are we tempting God or are we trying to bully him? Are we tempting him by not doing devotions? By the way we do our parenting? By not teaching our kids? Are we relying on others to teach our kids and saying that's good enough? Are we living two separate lives, one in the world and one church on Sunday and Wednesday? Are you bullying others? And that physical bullying, that can be a problem. That's a sin. Is Satan bullying you with addiction? Something, anything else that Satan can be bullying you with? Each one of us has something, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not saying I can see through the fog, and you got this issue, or you got this issue, or it's all between you and God. What Satan has a hold of in your life? There's something, and if you think you're okay, that you're good with God, and there's nothing there, wait a couple days. Satan will come after you Satan will come after you, and he'll try to get you. Question is, who's got control of your life? Again, God or the ultimate bully? Now, this is the part that I'm gonna try. That's gonna be different. I don't know if everybody can see me over here. I don't know if my mic works over here, but everybody knows the stairs go downstairs. The stairs that go downstairs here. The stairs that go up here. In a minute, I'm gonna have you close your eyes, but I want you to remember. Stairs going down, stairs going up. The only one that can stand at this level would be Christ, okay? So as soon as we were born, we started to become sinners. We already started down the stairs. We already started downwards. So what I want you to do, and the pastor can come forward with his song or whatever he wants to do, and Miss Melinda, but it's going to be about 5 minutes. But I want everybody to just close their eyes. And this isn't going to be raising your hand, and this is the part, I'm not a big altar call kind of person. So, but I want you to think during this time of something that something that Satan is bullying you with. Whatever is each one of you, he has his hooks in on. If you're good, then don't worry about it. If there's something that Satan's got a hold of you with, take this time to think about it. Take this time to pray. Take this time to try to ask God to help you resolve it, to get through it, to defeat the bully. For those of you that are not saved, and I'm not picking on any particular people, I don't know anybody's salvation. I'm just saying, that picture I put in your head, or I tried to put in your head, you have the stairs going down, stairs going up. Christ is on the floor, in the middle. The devil will take you in, by the hand and walk you straight to hell. He'll take you down the stairs. It doesn't matter to him. He'll tell you, I'm your best friend. Mm-hmm. But when he drops you off in a pit of hell, he doesn't care a thing about you. He's got the one thing he wanted, and that was your soul. On the other hand, the stairs going up, you have a Savior standing there. He's got his hand out to you. The hand has a hole in it. That's how much he loved you. He doesn't want to see you be bullied to hell. Because there's not going to be any fun going on in hell. Everybody says, I'll be partying with my friends. You'll be in so much torment you won't be able to speak. But you have a loving God that wants to give you a mansion. Now, I told you, Satan will bully you right to hell, and he'll be fine with it. And you can continue to let that happen. Or you can punch that bully in the face. And you can say, I've had enough. When I got, God had to chase me for a while. But when I asked the Lord to forgive me, it was like a weighted backpack that just fell to the ground. All that sin, all that pressure, was gone. And you can have that same thing today. But I want you to get that mental picture in your head. Satan will grab you right by the hand and walk you to hell, and he doesn't care. But you have a Savior that loves you, that will carry you all the way to heaven. Pastor?
Page 230, if you will, please.